Coming up, I'm going to tell you why people, maybe you, are trapped in a job you can't stand. And then a kicker gets cut. We'll break it down. And the rise of the one-day work week. What? And I coach you up. Let's go! Helping you make more money and experience more meaning. What a fun job I have. That's kind of cool. And I am here for you, Ken Coleman, Ken Coleman Show. I am your coach. And if you are new to the program, and I'm told we're getting a lot of new people, and you're just like, I know this guy's lost his ever-loving mind. I don't know how in the world I could actually enjoy work. It's just about the paycheck, Ken. I want the money, baby. I don't care about the meaning. You're wrong. Stay tuned. I'll convince you. But for those of you who are absolutely miserable, or you've reached the end of your rope, you're done, for whatever reason, and you just can't seem to hit the eject button, oh, today's show is for you. In fact, if you've got a friend, a loved one, who just can't seem to hit that eject button, the next few minutes could change their life. Too many people feel stuck in jobs that make them miserable. I mean, we've reported on these people. They are the contrast. They are the exception to the 50 million people that have changed jobs over the last year. Some go, I wish I would have left. I want to leave. But they're left behind. So Alex, the producer, asked me this the other day in a meeting. He said, I'd love for you to unpack this. Why do you think people stay in jobs that they don't like or they hate or that they're miserable in? And, you know, I just looked at him. I said, well, it's pretty simple. It's two things. Number one, they're scared to make a move. Watch this. Or number two, they doubt they have a move to make. Let me say it again. The reason people stay in miserable situations is because they are scared. They are afraid to make a move. Or they don't feel like they have a move to make. So it's those pesky enemies that I end up talking a lot about on the show, fear and doubt. There are these little creatures that live on our shoulders and they just hang out right by our ear, right by our ears, and they just whisper. This is dangerous. It's risky. There's no move you can make. You're trapped. And we know from neuroscience that the thoughts that we focus on become what we act on, and it just becomes a soundtrack. And then so even though it might be completely absurd, because it stays in our brain long enough and it's just rolling around like a skating rink, and we just begin to think this is real, this is true. People stay trapped in relationships that are broken. Uh-oh, now I'm getting real personal. They stay in jobs they can't stand. They stay in health patterns like eating junk food and not exercising or whatever. I mean, folks, I could go down the list of every area of our lives where we stay in an unhealthy place. And it's because we're scared to make a move, to make a change. We're scared to move forward. The very thing that will allow us to get unstuck, we're scared of moving, or we doubt that there's a move that we can actually make. And I would suggest to you that the people who stay stuck for the longest time, I think they're victim to both of those little enemies, fear and doubt. I think both voices are working. Well, I could make a move, but it's really crazy risky. And outside of that crazy, scary, risky move, there is no alternative. I mean, we hear it all the time when callers call in on the show to get coached. The only opportunity I have is so crazy risky I can't even bear the thought, or, and outside of that opportunity, there is no other way. And this is the 1-2 punch of fear and doubt. The reason that we allow fear and doubt to win the day and keep us held back is because we don't get clear. See, when fear and doubt are protecting us We don't need to get clear. I've said this before. I always like to show the other side of the coin. When fear is protecting me, I don't need clarity because in the moment it is clear. If I'm on a hike and I get too close to the edge and the soil moves beneath me and the rocks fall and I realize, whoa, one bad move, I could fall over the side of the mountain and die. Fear's not lying to me. I don't, and in that moment, I don't need to get clear. It's very obvious. Back away from the side of the cliff, Coleman, or you're going to fall and die. Okay? The second, the other side of this is when I doubt something that's protecting me, I'm protecting myself from maybe a poor investment. Let's say some friend meets me and says, hey, let me tell you about this new scheme or this new get-rich-quick multi-level marketing or crypto or whatever it is, and I got some doubts. See, I don't need to get clear there because what I've just heard doesn't add up. I'm talking about when fear and doubt, when it's not completely clear and completely obvious, that is usually a sign that fear and doubt are holding you back. So what do you have to do? You have to get clear. You got to push in now. Now you push in. Okay, what is true? What do I need to know? Who do I need to talk to verify if this voice of fear and doubt is holding me back because it's not true? So there are three stages in the seven stages of the clear path that I've created. If you want to discover and do what you were born to do, there are seven stages. Stage one is get clear. Stage two is get qualified. Stage three is get connected. And so if you want to get out of a poor job situation, it is as simple as engaging in those three stages. Get clear. What do I mean by get clear? Well, first we want to get completely aware of who we are uniquely. There are three stages to it. Or not stages, three elements. And here it is right here. This is the Get Clear Career Assessment. This is a printout. Okay, right here. And in this report, you're going to see what you do best, talent. Think of those as your premium tools that you bring to the workplace. You're going to see the work that fires you up, that you love. You're going to see the results that motivate you. So that's getting clear. Oh, I know who I am, what I want to do, and why I want to do it. I can see all the different places in the world at work in which I can not only be really good at it, make a good paycheck, but also enjoy it. Stage two is get qualified. So once I know what I want to do, in other words, the mountain I want to climb, what equipment do I need? What kind of physical shape do I need to be in for the climb? For getting the job, there's four qualifying questions. What do I need to learn? Is it traditional education or non-traditional? What do I need to do? That's experience. How much is that going to cost me? And how long will it take? And while I'm gathering those answers, I'm also getting connected with people that are in that field. And so now I'm in stage three while I'm in stage two. I'm getting clear. I got clear. Now it's all about getting qualified and getting connected so that I have opportunities, and opportunities come in to me and knock on my door. It's that simple. Now, those are just three of the seven stages. The rest of the seven stages are in the book, Paycheck to Purpose. It's on the shelf behind me. But those three stages will allow you to get unstuck and to go, hey, I've got confidence that I should leave and that I could leave. And so thus, I leave. You don't need to be stuck. Coming up, the rise of the one-day work week and a rookie kicker gets cut for missing. What does he do next? One of these days, I'm going to release a soundtrack of the conversations I have with the team during the breaks. They're quite fun and entertaining and random at times. You'll have to wait for that coming to a record store near you. No, I'm kidding. Hey, every day on the show, we have a few moments where we get to meet viewers and listeners where they are. They call in and we call it our coaching sessions. But, you know, I'm limited to how many people I can coach, obviously, and the amount of time I can give the people that I coach live here on the air. But that's why I created the Ramsey Career Coaching Option. This is a wonderful option for some of you who are, you know, you're at a real let's call it a real space, a real moment where you've got to decide. I'm either going to keep growing or I don't know if I can keep going. And that's why you need a coach. Space is limited, but we do have spots open. We have listeners and viewers right now engaging with our Ramsey career coaches. These men and women I've vetted personally. I know all of them. They're great at what they do. KenColeman.com/coaching if you want to sign up for that. KenColeman.com/coaching. Okay, a couple things to get to here. We got a little bonus teaching here coming up out of the NFL training camp news. So you don't have to like football to enjoy this. Okay, this is going to be good. But first, I love being a man of the people, telling you folks what to expect, how to deal with what may come. Well, here we go. The rise of the one-day work week. The number of people coming to the office once a week has soared in recent months. As you still have employers like Apple, they're kind of the biggest brand right now that have still allowed people to work from home. They've announced there's a come back to work date. So as that is beginning to get closer, people are coming back to the office, but the data says there's only one day a week. A full 50% of office visits globally were just once a week in the second quarter, up from 44% in the first quarter. This according to Basking, a workplace occupancy analytics company. Now I got to tell you, when I hear things like this, Alex, I'm stunned that across the globe, 50% of workers are only coming in one day a week. We've been in for so long, I don't remember when we weren't in. As a matter of fact, Joe knows this. We never missed a day during the pandemic. It's not a badge of honor. It's just what happened. We had to do our show. So because we were media, we were allowed to come in and do that. And so, you know, for me, it was like, hey, I don't even know what that's like. It's a staggering number if you look across the globe. Even with the most firms implementing a 3 days in the office hybrid policy, most employees prefer visiting the office just once a week. This is a quote from Elder Gizatoff, easily the most fun name I'll say all week on the show. He's Basking's chief executive officer, and he's commenting on the report. The pandemic has accustomed people to work remotely, and there's not a concrete reason in most professions to return to the office. Well, woo! Oh, man. Some of these CEOs like Jamie Dimon, we talked about him yesterday. Boy, he likes to rant and rave while tracking his employees. There is a battle line being drawn, and I can tell you right now, I have no idea where it's going to go. I have no clue how it's going to work out, but you're going to see. And here's what's crazy. These employees know how valuable they are. Because of the great resignation, and there's this gap for workers. And so, you know, are they going to stare their leaders down? Are they willing to lose their job over this? There's some angry young man on YouTube who just isn't happy, who comes after me every time I say things like this, apparently. I don't even know his name, and I don't care. But I didn't say that you shouldn't stand for working remote, if that's what you want to do. But I'm telling you, a choice is coming. And I don't know how long employees can call the bluff of their leaders on this. Work from home habits are settling into industry-specific patterns. No surprise here. About 55% of workers are in person full-time, mostly in frontline jobs like retail, food service, and manufacturing. Roughly 30% have hybrid arrangements. These are typically managers and more white-collar jobs, while 15% of workers are fully remote, largely in support roles like payroll and information. So there is it's going to be interesting. At some point, you know, companies and profits, and if they start laying people off, it's going to be an excuse for them to go, if you want to be remote, we're laying you off. I do think that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's going to happen across the board, but it's going to happen. For companies that say, we really want you back in the office. And, you know, it's going to come down. It's going to be high stakes poker, as I really believe that. Because you're going to have CEOs pushing their chips in the table going, you want to work here? You got to be in the office based on our rules. Is it a hybrid model? I think hybrid model will win the day. I think when the dust settles and we look back on this a few years from now, I think the majority of U.S. companies will have a hybrid work model. Some days out of the office, some days in. And then I think you continue to see the remote work grow. And I think the minority will be people that are all in all the time in the office. I do think that'll be the breakdown. Those will be the three separations. I just think that's where that's going. But either way, it's going to be poker. CEOs going, nope, pushing their chips into the table. Or workers going, if you want me, I got to be able to work at home. And they push their chips on the table. We'll see what happens. Okay. This is a fun little story, a little bonus teaching today, even though it's out of the headlines. I chuckled when I saw this. So before I break this story down, here's the question to consider. What do you do when you blow it in the workspace? You blow it. Whatever that looks like, what do you do when you blow it? Coach, leader, what do you do when one of your employees blows it? This is the context, the question on this story. This is fascinating. And I love football, so I love to talk about football and draw, you know, comparisons to life and our work life. So, free agent rookie Andrew Mevis. I don't know how you say his last name. I'm going to go with Mevis. He was 4 days into his first training camp for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he missed three field goal attempts. That's where he's kicking the ball. Oh, there he is on the screen. Poor guy. Well, he looks like a good kicker. And so he missed three field goals during the warm-ups. Okay, now this is a warm-up for a preseason game. And he missed three. And apparently, two were really bad. How bad? Apparently, one of them missed so far, I don't know, to the right or the left, that it hit a former coach who was on the sideline as a consultant in the shoulder. 75-year-old Dave Campo was an assistant coach and defensive backs coach for the Jaguars in the past, and he was there. And so you just picture, you know, he's probably standing over to the left or to the right. It doesn't matter. And the kicker misses the field goal so badly in warmups that it hits this guy on the shoulder. Well, the other two were also bad, but apparently this was the last straw for the Jaguars coaching staff and the general manager because they cut the guy on the spot. Now, some of you, before you get outraged, this is different than your normal work environment, right? So, you know, there's probably 90 players trying to make a 53-man squad, I believe it is, 85 to 90 players, if my memory serves, trying to make a 53-man squad. And so at any given time, you can get cut. This is the preseason. That's what it is. So as a kicker, you're pretty expendable. Here's a rookie, undrafted. So he's a free agent. He shows up, and Nathan kicks the one kick so bad that it hits a guy in the shoulder. And I think the coaches were like, good grief. This is in the warm-up of the game. You're gone. Now, that's the story. But why do I share the story? Because I think we all have to be prepared for what do we do when we blow it? And this guy's not a bad kicker. I would suggest to you that if he went to a high school field 2 miles away right after that, 20 minutes later, he would be booming kicks right down the middle. I don't think he's a bad kicker. I just think that he doesn't do well under pressure. And so he didn't do well under pressure. So he's got to learn how to handle the pressure and keep on moving. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where I help you make more money, experience more meaning. I looked into the chat room that's alive and well today with the YouTube crazies that are watching. That's my affectionate term for them. Got some new folks jumping in the chat room. Welcome. I'm going to get to Matthew Tuttle's question. He's got a really good question. But first, we got somebody with a name that I can't even pronounce from somewhere across the globe. And says, I got to read this. This is so funny, Alex. I don't know why some people say that Dave Ramsey Solutions is a cult. I think Ken's point of view is always on point. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to tell my teenagers you said that. It makes sense what he says. I'm not affiliated with Ramsey, but I do find his show information. Well, first of all, we are not a cult. Thank you very much. And so there you go. All right. Let's get to Matthew. He says, I hate my job. I'm working for the evil government where else are you going to go without any education or marketable skills? Matthew, thank you so much for asking this question. First of all, you've created this false narrative that you don't have any marketable skills. I don't believe that because I know you have talent because you're a human, Matthew. So if you are a human, then you were born with talent. End of story. Now, that talent can be honed into skill. All right? So you do have marketable skills, Matthew. Secondly, to say that the government is the only place that you can go work is another total preposterous false narrative. So Matthew, that's all I got because that's all you gave me in the chat room. But here's what I want you to do. Matthew, if you're listening, Matthew, email the show, ask@kencoleman.com. Put in there, I'm claiming my Get Clear assessment. Amanda will get you, or Alex will get you, a Get Clear assessment link. I want you to take it, and then I want you to call my show. We'll get you on the air. Because it's nonsense to believe that you are limited just working for the government. All right? And then here's another thing you ought to do. I talk about ZipRecruiter every day on the show, Matthew. Why wouldn't you go to ZipRecruiter? It's a free service. And you might discover new jobs, things that you never even realized that you can do right now. Matthew, it's free to you. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken and let them start working for you, promoting you, bringing you opportunities. Don't wait on the assessment. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken today. How about that? Let me tell ZipRecruiter how I just seamlessly worked that one right in there because it actually works. It's a great service. By the way, I endorse them because I'm not selling you anything. It doesn't cost you folks anything to sign up at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. So go for it. All right, Sarah's been very patient. We go to Corpus Christi, Texas to talk to Sarah. Sarah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
My question is, hi. I've been in my job for like 20 some years, along with a lot of my other coworkers. Like there's probably like maybe 9 of us that have been there 20 plus years.
Wow.
And yeah, and we have, you know, some new employees that have been there maybe like, you know, 2 years. And, the people that have been there like me, you know, our pay hasn't gone up in a few years. Like we've been, you know, we've already reached our max. So these new employees that have been there a few years, they came in and, you know, they went somewhere else, showed up with the letter of intent, you know, threatening to leave. And, you know, and then they get sign-on bonuses, $10,000 to stay for 2 years, and then they get raises. And then we're just like, what? Like, what about us?
All right, so let me understand
this.
Nothing
has been done for us.
All right, so you haven't had even an annual pay bump of 2 or 3 or 4% over the last 2-3 years?
Well, what they do is they give you like a little lump sum bonus
All right. And then what you're telling me is these people that have been there a lot less time than you, they said they were leaving. They basically resigned and said, I'm going somewhere else. And then the company responded by giving them a $10,000 bonus. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. Yes.
Sounds like you should have been in their group, huh?
Yes.
I mean, they basically said, I'm walking. I'm out.
Right. So, because we have like a shortage in our department.
Right. So here's the deal. What's keeping you there?
Well, I've been there a long time. And I mean, I've heard other places from what I do, you know.
Hold on. Okay. If that's your answer, and I'm okay with that being your answer, then this is not me responding to what these other employees did, but it's time for you to look elsewhere and then you can play the same strategy they did. But the fact of the matter is you want to leave. You're not negotiating or playing a game. You have a job to go to. And if they somehow go, oh, wait a second, Sarah, we don't want you to leave, and they make it amenable for you to stay, then that's your decision. But when I ask someone who's been at a company 20 plus years, what's keeping you there? And your answer is, well, I've been there a long time. That's not a good sign, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, let's have fun with this, Sarah. How much money do you make right now?
I make like $64,000.
All right, what if I offered you $75,000 right now, doing the exact same kind of work you do somewhere else, done deal, you just go over there starting tomorrow morning? What would you do? Would you go over there or would you stay where you are?
I would go.
Why? Why would you go over there? You've been in this place so long. Why would you go over there? I'm serious.
Money, but
what?
Also, it has a lot to do with, you know, the environment, the work environment.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be good?
I believe that this place has sucked the soul out of you. I don't know if it's completely gone, but your work soul is close to being in evaporation zone. Am I right or am I wrong? Or maybe it's already evaporated.
Oh, yeah, it's evaporated. I go to work like, okay, pays the bills.
Sarah, this is the time to look. Did you call? Why did you call me? I think you called me for permission to leave. Am I wrong?
I guess, yeah.
No, tell me if I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong. I'm taking a guess.
Uh-huh.
Why'd you call
uh-huh.
me? Seriously, why'd you call me?
For a solution.
I got the solution.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, are you willing to do it? I would suggest to you that you mm-hmm. have wanted to leave for quite some time. Is that true?
Yes.
But the reason you haven't left is exactly what I started with today's teaching on. And I don't know if you heard me start today's show, but I said the two reasons why people stay in a job they can't stand, and that's you, Sarah, is because they're mm-hmm. afraid to make a move. Listen. Or they doubt they have a move to make. I think you're both of those. I think you're afraid to make a move. And I think you doubt that there might even be a move to make. Is this true or false?
True.
I'm sorry?
True.
It's absolutely true. So, I'm going to give you the advice that I gave everybody else when I started today's show. The thing that you need to focus on is getting clear on what you can do from a talent standpoint, what you want to do from a passion standpoint, work you enjoy, and what results you want to create in the rest of your work life. That's talent, what you do best, passion, work you love, mission, results that motivate you. Sarah, mm-hmm. I'm going to give you, as my gift, the Get Clear Career Assessment. It's right here. Okay, it's a printout. It's going to give you an unbelievable report, and I'm going to give you my best-selling book, From Paycheck to Purpose. The Get Clear Assessment is the compass and the filter for all decisions, and the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, is the guide to climb up the mountain. If I give you those, you no longer can say that I'm afraid to make a move and I doubt that I have a move. Would you agree if I give you the tools?
Yes.
All right, Sarah. There's nothing else here to do but to say goodbye, and you got this. Hang on the line. We'll get you the assessment, the Get Clear Assessment, and the book, From Paycheck to Purpose, whatever format that you want. Hey, you know what? This is great. We started by me saying, this is why people stay in something they don't enjoy. They're afraid to make a move, or they doubt they have a move to make. Folks, it's that simple. And the antidote to that fear and doubt is clarity. That's why I do what I do. A person who is clear, watch, is confident. And a person who is confident is courageous. I got to get out of here. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.